Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are introducing a new company on the show, Summa Silver, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol SSVR and on the OTC markets under the symbol SSVRF. Shad and I are chatting with the CEO, Galen McNamara. Now, Galen, let's start off by touching on the company's two projects, the flagship project here in Tonopah, Nevada, in this Walker Lane trend, the Hughes property. Now, the Hughes property includes the Belmont Mine here. The Belmont Mine, one of the top producing mines of the Tonopah District, hasn't been operational since the 1940s. And from my understanding, Summa Silver now getting on the Hughes property here and really trying to get an understanding of what mineralization is still left around. Sounds like a lot of exploration that is still ongoing. Galen, take us through, A, what attracted you to this Hughes property and the phase one drilling that has already been completed? What were some of the results that had you guys encouraged, please?
Yeah. Thanks very much, Corey, and great to be joining you guys. The first project, the Hughes property, and just even before I jump into the details, we called it the Hughes property because it was actually formerly owned by Howard Hughes back in the 70s, just before he died. So that's just a tip of the cap to the history. And, you know, Hughes was a guy that was way ahead of his time in a lot of things. And right before he passed away, he kind of foresaw, you know, the need for American-sourced resources like silver and gold and many other things. So that was why he was involved in this area. But what really attracted us to this, and we did an option deal to pick this up in about March of 2020. So right when the COVID scare, the COVID crash was really happening, I think silver was $13 or $14 an ounce. And of course, they say timing is everything, and here we are, and it's looking pretty good. But what attracted me to this property to begin with really was, you know, there's this old saying in exploration, and if you haven't figured out that I'm a geologist yet, you probably will pretty soon. And that, you know, the old saying is that, hey, the best place to find a new mine is right next to the old mine. So, you know, we're not really trying to reinvent the wheel here by any means. And Tonopah really is where this property is, the Tonopah District. This area really is a great American mining camp. It was discovered in 1900 by a guy who was chasing after his runaway donkeys as he went from one ranch to the next through the desert. And supposedly the donkeys stopped on top of the veins, and that was the discovery. But you fast forward 50 years, and this district produced about 174 million ounces of silver and almost 2 million ounces of gold at grades of about 1,260 grams per ton silver equivalent. So this very significant, very large, very high-grade past producer that, you know, until, you know, us and a few other groups really showed up here last year, hasn't seen any modern exploration at all. So, you know, as an explorer, as a geo, and also the CEO of the company, I mean, those are the types of shots that we want to get into, where, you know, you just have this opportunity that every time you go into a place like this, in my experience, that there's always juice left to squeeze. There's always good-looking targets. So one of the things, the first thing we did last year after getting the project was we really spent the time to put in the geological legwork that you need to do and really get into a modern approach to discovery and use a lot of the tools that we have today that, you know, they just weren't available back, you know, 50, 60, 100 years ago. So we did that and came up with some very, very compelling drill targets over about a strike length of 3.5 kilometers. Drilled 4 target areas across that, over that 3.5 kilometers, 29 holes in total. And hey, you know, the vast majority of the holes hit, you know, and hit good grades. I think that our highlight hole was 3,760 grams per ton silver equivalent, over 2.5 meters. But even zooming out from that, you know, over that 3.5 kilometers, you know, we were hitting grades well in excess of 1,000 grams per ton in multiple holes. So we're at the point now where, you know, we feel that, you know, it's now very obvious that there's still a lot of life left here. There's still a lot of precious metals left in this area. And we've really got to do the legwork in and continue drilling to figure out what we could have on our hands. So that's the Hughes property in a nutshell, Corey.
Well, Galen, when we had talked off mic, you mentioned that
you have those four main targets. Let's walk through, you know, what you did on the last drill program and how that informs the current drill program. You have the Belmont mine where the majority of the holes went. I believe 19 of the holes went in there. You have the Murray target where there were seven holes, the Mispah target target with two holes, and the Ruby target with just one hole. So that was from the phase one drilling. So the focus was clearly around the Belmont mine and a little bit more on Murray. What how will those holes that you drilled inform what you're doing on the current 10,000 meter phase two program?
Just to even to back up a little bit, there were four targets. Murray and Belmont were targets where we were really focusing on the historic part of the district, you know, where we're looking for unmined extensions of veins, new veins that the old-time miners didn't get to. Now, there's two points to make here before I even talk about the results. And the first is that what they would have needed for a cutoff grade to make work back then would have been much higher than what we need today. That's number one. And then number two, you know, this area, the mine, especially the Belmont mine, didn't shut down because it ran out of ore. It shut down because at the end of the 19-teens, early 1920s, metal prices really collapsed. And then the other thing is that the veins in the Belmont mine ran into a fault zone, and then the old-time miners more or less lost them on the other side of that fault, on the far side of that fault. So we really concentrated around the Belmont mine and the Murray target area because this is where we had the most information. This is where we had all of the old mine level plans and could really start piecing things back together for targeting. So concentrated most of our drilling there and you know, hit in multiple veins. And now we're just at the point where we're really trying to prioritize where to go next, because it's not a simple story of, okay, there's one vein, follow up on it. You know, there's a bunch of them, and we really want to be efficient and drill the best ones first. So that's the Belmont and the Murray areas. But then the other two areas, the Mizpah target and the Ruby target, those represent extensions of the entire district, where we're stepping out to the east and really taking a big swing to try to find a new big vein. Drilled three holes out there in phase one last year, and two of them hit. The most interesting one being at the Ruby target, which is over a kilometer from the historic district out to the east. And that actually hit six zones of mineralization, a little bit narrow, but the highlight being 522 grams per ton over 2 meters, with a high-grade kicker of almost 1,600 grams per ton over half a meter. But really some of the best hydrothermal alteration that I've ever seen, that the team's ever seen. And that's just geological code word for smoke. So fast forward, you know, a few months, and we just started drilling a couple months ago now here, just following up on some of these results. And the idea is that we're trying to just to systematically build ounces here as we push this thing forward. So we're really stepping out around where we know where there's mineralization, where we know we hit last year, and trying to see what we could have on our hands. And when you have four targets over a strike length of 3.5 kilometers, you've got a lot of work to do and you've got a lot of mineralization on your hands. So we're just trying to figure out, you know, what that could look like at the end of the day.
So just to clarify, Galen, this phase two drilling, 10,000 meters, or at least a minimum of 10,000 meters, you're not moving towards a resource yet. It's still too early here. This is still pretty much true exploration, just understanding what's possible.
Yes. Yeah, we're at the point where I would say that we are moving towards a resource where we're really systematically and really stepping out around where we know there's mineralization at hole spacings that would support a resource. But there's just so much left to do here that, you know, I wouldn't say a resource is coming imminently, because we need to figure out, you know, what we have on our hands. And then just lastly on that point is that, you know, we announced the 10,000 meter program, and we're about 8,000 meters through it now. But, you know, I can honestly say that we really don't have any plans to stop here.
Okay, so 10,000 meters, sounds like you guys are going to expand or extend on that. Are there any other assets in the area or any other mines in the area that you're also using as a comparison for what could be possible here, or even to guide some of your targeting when it comes to potential mineralization?
You know, I wouldn't say guide targeting, but you know, when we were first getting this company started, and it's only about a year old, a little over a year old, you know, and I was thinking to myself, hey, what's an example of a win if we're to, you know, things are to go well for us in Tonopah? And, you know, I kept coming back to the Silvercrest of the world and now the Vizslas of the world, who, you know, have gone into these historic districts similar to this and have really knocked it out of the park with success.
Fair enough. There has been some good stories, some good silver exploration stories, all based around some past mining. So I guess we're just waiting on news out of that 10,000-meter program, or at least this Phase 2 program. None of the results have been released, right? So hopefully you'll start to get some of those back. That should be a catalyst for the company. What about the other project then? In New Mexico, the Mugion property. Give us an update here. What attracted you to this project?
Yeah, so, you know, ever since we started Suma, we were always looking for something that could, you know, really double our chances at having that big exploration success. You know, I always liked the southwestern U.S. I always liked these old mining districts that hadn't really seen any modern exploration. I hadn't really seen the light of day in the public markets either. So we auctioned this one out of a company called Allegiant Gold, who is really concentrating on some very, very interesting gold mineralization in Nevada, namely at the East Side deposit. They actually just put out some very strong drill results recently. So a really high-grade silver district in New Mexico doesn't really fit their corporate focus, but it fits ours almost perfectly. So that's another one where, hey, this one produced from the 1880s to 1942, and production only shut down in 1942 because that's when the U.S. went into World War II. So that's when all silver and gold mining in the U.S. stopped by law. Between then and the 1970s, it was more or less forgotten about. But in the 1970s, it was put together by a couple of very well-known Nevada geologists who had extensive and were very, very successful in discovering some of the earliest Carlin deposits for Newmont. You know, probably some of the most successful geologists in terms of gold finders ever, Andy Wallace and John Livermore. Fast forward to the 80s, and they drilled around just one of the old mines and got some really interesting results. You know, highlights being 14 meters at 600 grams per ton. And then there's also an intersection that I believe is a couple meters at almost 2,000 grams per ton silver equivalent. And after that, you know, it hasn't really been looked at since then, since the 80s. Now, you know, we can't use those holes from the 80s in a quote-unquote, you know, compliant 43-101 resource estimate. Because, you know, we don't have the core, we don't have the downhole survey data, et cetera. But that's okay because, you know what? What those holes do give us is a real roadmap to where to drill first. So what we're going to do probably starting in 3 to 4 weeks is just start drilling those areas off and start building ounces in a quote-unquote compliant way as quickly, as efficiently as possible.
Well, Galen, one question that comes to mind and other investors have mentioned before is they're unsure of the mining history in New Mexico. So for Mugion, you know, maybe you could cover that there is a rich history in New Mexico. And if memory serves, you're actually pretty close to Freeport's copper project as well. So just walk us through the environment of drilling and developing a project in New Mexico.
Yeah. So there's a couple interesting points to make there in that. Yes, New Mexico, and especially western and southwestern New Mexico, has a very, very rich mining history. The project is located within 100 kilometers of two large open pit mines that Freeport is running. But the other thing about this project, too, is we're not talking about big open pits here, number one. We're talking about, you know, underground vein mining. And the other thing that's helpful for us is that most of the property, and especially the earliest areas we'll be drilling and where all the old mines are, is on private patented mining claims. So it's private property. That is also a very helpful thing that, you know, when you're thinking about permitting for a mine, is very, very helpful.
All right, Galen, let's move on here to management. I know a number of our listeners will know some of your team, being Garrett Ainsworth. He's a technical advisor. Mike Connert, he's a director. But it is your first time on the show. Give us a little background on your history in the resource sector, please.
Sure. So I'm a geologist going back about 15 years, although more and more so now, I'm less of a less exploration and geology focused and really more market focused. Before putting Suma together, I spent, I want to say, 4 years managing all the drilling for a company called NextGen Energy. And of course, we made some very large uranium discoveries in northern Saskatchewan. And then prior to that, I was managing some of the exploration around the CB mine, also in Saskatchewan. That was a gold mine. And those guys ended up getting taken out by SSR shortly after we left because there was a nice discovery made there that's now in production called the Santoy Gap Deposit. And my focus, you know, even prior to that, has always been on precious and base metals, typically in Canada. NextGen was actually my first uranium job, which is kind of crazy to think about. But my passion really has always been precious metals. So here we are with Suma now and really chasing silver-rich epithermal veins, silver and gold-rich veins.
Well, Galen, on this drill program that you have ongoing, the Phase 2 program at the Hughes property, and the program, the 10,000 meters that you have planned at the Mugyun property, what's the budget for those programs? What kind of cash does the company have in the bank, and how are you set up for funding for these projects?
Yeah, so currently there's $10 million and a bit in the bank. We're about 7,000 meters through the first 10,000-meter drill program on the Hughes property in Tonopah. And we're planning an additional 10,000 meters at the Mugyun property in New Mexico. So total budget for the year for drilling is probably in the neighborhood of $7.5 to $8 million, of which we've spent between $2 and $3 million. I would say we're very well funded for the rest of the year and to do everything we want to do this year and really just focus on drilling and putting out results for the rest of the year.
Okay. Quick touch here on share structure. Shares outstanding, about 62.8 million on a fully diluted basis, almost 78 million. An interesting split up here of where the shares are where the shares are held. I see institutional and high net worth. That's in the 36% area. Take us through other key shareholders and also how much management and insiders hold, please.
Sure. So, you know, the one key shareholder that wasn't mentioned there, Corey, is of course Eric Sprott. He's invested in all three of our financings for a total of $8 million, and that gives him about 18% of the company. Myself, I'm a large shareholder. I own 2.4, 2.5 million shares. And then some of the guys on the board also have significant positions, and some very close associates of ours also have significant positions. You know, the one thing is that quality silver projects are hard to find. And I think that's really helped attract some quality shareholders from us that participated in our financings, going back to 25 cents right at the beginning of the company. Generally long-focused resource funds that, you know, buy and hold.
And final point here then, Galen, before we wrap it up, news flow. Obviously a lot of drilling, a lot of drill results to come. What should investors be paying attention to?
Yeah, that's it. Lots of news to come. There will be a lot of drill holes and a lot of drilling news for the rest of the year. And I think that will be the most important step for us, is really proving and showing to the markets what, you know, we believe we have at our hands here on two separate projects. So that's it. That's our focus for the rest of the year, Corey, is straight up just drill, drill, drill.
Pretty simple. Fully funded drill programs in good jurisdictions, right? So we'll follow up as some more news hits the market, especially on the back of drill results. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or chat@kereport.com. As I mentioned, we will be bringing Galen back on the show on the back of some drill results. Galen, thank you for your time today. Have a great rest of your week.
You too, and thanks very much, gentlemen.